I'd like to welcome and introduce tonight's second speaker from Denver. Please welcome Mike Kay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm an abstaining, maintaining, compulsive overeater from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. And Denver, Colorado is a Mile High City on two levels, if you know what I'm talking about. I've been in this beloved program now for 44 years, 9 months, and 25 days. And that's important because it's the longest thing that I've ever attempted to stay in, besides my family, which that's a totally different story, but OA I choose to be with at times. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I come from a good German, Irish, Roman, Catholic, Kansas farm family. My dad was involved, not directly a farmer, but he delivered gasoline and petroleum products to the farmers and small businesses in the area. The business has now been in that area for like 93, 94 years. My maternal grandfather started it. My father purchased it. I'm one of seven children. My eldest brother had cerebral palsy. Could not talk, could not walk, total patient care. And I'm the second child in the family, five boys and one girl. And so the one thing that we always had a roof over our head, clothes on our backs, and food in our stomach. And I come from a farm family, so we ate like farmers, for God's sakes, and even though we weren't farmers. And the thing of it was, I realized early on, I had trouble. Mom always fought the battle of the bulge, and so did I. And the thing of it is that I'm most grateful for is that this is the woman who gave me birth twice. Once in the normal way, you know, oh my God, it's another kid. And the other way by giving me the gift of Overeaters Anonymous. The thing of it is, what I was like, I was a fat kid. For those of you who are out there, there are two different kind of folks that I've met in this program, those who gained weight after a certain period of time, but those of us who were fat kids, grew up fat teens and all that other stuff, and I don't have to tell you how miserable that was. So I was 110 pounds in the third grade, for goodness sake, and by the time I graduated from high school, I was at 232 pounds. And I don't have to tell you what it's like to have to buy bigger size clothes every year and to have gaposis at the shirts because when I carry a lot of weight between my belly button and my knees. And, oh, my goodness, it was just absolutely horrible. The other part of it is I'm your basic sugar addict. I can eat the stuff, whether it's frozen, baked, raw, thawed, or indifferent. I have eaten moldy fruitcake under the auspices of I could use the penicillin. Now, the really sick part about that is my first degree is in biology education, and I know that you cannot eat penicillin, but it didn't faze me any. Food is food, and I wanted it, and I thought that I needed it at the time. It's really insane. The other part of it is, by God's grace, I found this program because Mom was a failure in many other weight loss organizations, and she found OA. And for those of you who grew up with an obese parent and all this other stuff, the more I saw of Mom, the less I saw of Mom, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I went back to go do my student teaching, and this is what happened. I went back to do my student teaching. And I went to an OA meeting with Mom, and I knew I immediately found my home. The very first meeting, I understood all of this stuff. I wanted to go back to a meeting with her, and she said, go find your own meeting. So I did what every other compulsive overeater would do. I went to the freezer and ate an entire box of frozen zingers and all that other stuff. And a couple of weeks later, my first OA meeting by myself was at the Olathe, Kansas fire station in downtown Olathe, Kansas. On April the 4th of 1976, and I've never left. For those of you who are new, and welcome to the newcomers, welcome, welcome, welcome. There's only one thing that I ask. don't leave. Just don't leave. The one thing I can say is, now that you've been to at least one meeting, you'll never be the same if you ever leave, because you know too much, or this program will mess up. It'll just mess you up, because you'll be thinking, but what were they talking about and putting down this? You know, when I first came in, we had the two sheets, gray sheet, orange sheet, and all the fights that went with that. I don't have to tell many of you about that. All I know is that one of the things that helped me tremendously, and I read this in some OA literature, abstinence is as individualized as prayer. And that's the thing that saved my butt. I found a food plan that worked for me. And, you know, I wish I could say the moment I walked into this program, oh, I was blessed with abstinence and all that stuff, and I never had to worry about it again. Well, that ain't my story. I horsed around with abstinence for a while because I was a mess, M-E-S-S. I was mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and sexually a mess. And so one of the things that happened was I continued to go to OA. And at the time in the Midwest, in Kansas, in the Kansas City area, what happened was it was just pretty much a happy housewife homemakers OA meeting, you know, a lot of married women with children and all that stuff. I was the single young 22-year-old kid that came into program and never left. And I heard when I first came in something that most young people might hear in a 12-step program. You are so fortunate to have found this program at your young age. If I heard it once, I heard it 100 times, and it just irritated me. And so, and the reason why I'll tell you in a second, because now when I see young people come into OA, I ask them how old they are, and they'll say, I'm such and such age. And I said, you know, you are so fortunate to have found this program at your young age, because when I was your age, I had been in OA X number of years, and I'm still here. See, that was what was missing from that other part, and I'm still here. I continued to come to Overeaters Anonymous, and in January of 1979, I willingly went back to the food, and this is what it was like back then. I couldn't buy a day's worth of abstinence if it had been sold on the open market, but yet I continued to go to OA. I continued to do what my sponsor told me. I never left. I didn't leave because I didn't know where else to go. This was my first foray into to doing the stuff with the weight. Here's what I have found out after all these years. It works, but I have to put in a lot of time, thought, effort, concentration, and as the previous speaker said, working with others. I did not know that I was selfish, self-seeking, and self-centered until I started to work this program, to live this. I don't work the program anymore. I live the program. Because when I try to work the program, it means I'm trying to control what I want the steps to do, and that's not the way it works. I have to live this program. And finding when I live this program, then God is doing for me what I cannot and I will not do for myself. You know, each of us in this program are given grace. We are given grace on a daily basis. And the grace, I have an acronym. I've got a bunch of acronyms for this evening. Grace. Graciously and gratefully receiving abstinence from compulsive eating. Grace. Graciously and gratefully receiving abstinence from compulsive eating. And that's what I've been given. And there are some days that it's more difficult than others. How do I tell about all that's been given to me in a shorter period of time with 44 years in program and over 41 years of continuous abstinence? I'm not perfect with the abstinence, but that does not mean that I fall back into my binge foods or anything like that. I still weigh and measure certain things because I have big eyes. The other part about abstinence, my dear friends, is to abstain means to stay away from. So it's not just with the food that I have to abstain from, but I have to abstain from emotional and spiritual relapse. And sometimes those are very important. To abstain, stinking thinking. You know, one time I told somebody, I said, I wouldn't say my thinking is stinking, but good God, am I living next to a sewage treatment plant? You know, that's how bad my thinking could get sometimes. here's what I found through all of these years and sharing my strength, hope, and experience with others. I cannot tell you what to eat, when to eat, where to eat. I can't tell you anything. I found that Chapter 7 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous does not say bossing others, controlling others, or telling others what to do. It says three simple words, working with others. That's all it says. And how do I work with others? I just tell them what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, and I just share my strength, hope, and experience because that's all I can. I've been through therapy. I've done a whole lot of stuff, but I never left. You see, the spiritual part of this program is very important to me. I made formal application for the priesthood decades ago and was turned down because one of the things in this program is I learned was honesty. And so I just told them, you know, that I was a gay boy and all this other stuff. And they didn't take too highly to that and told me no. And this was long before all the crud that was going on with the church at the time. And here's what I've learned in this program is I don't have to wah-wah or complain about a bunch of stuff because one time I was at a gay bar in Kansas City and I was leaving and who should come walking in but the former archdiocesan vocational director who told me no for the seminary. And the thing of it is, remember those cartoons where the jaw drops, the tongue flaps, and the eyes are out to hear? That poor man didn't know what to do. And, of course, I was really irritated when I saw him, to be honest. But then all of a sudden I thought, that thought came to me, and it was from God. Well, how would you like to be treated? So I just looked at him, and I said, well, Bob, how are you? He didn't know what to do. I did not get my revenge. I was not angry or anything. I did not call the archbishop and say, wah, 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 because that would have been, what would that have said about my spiritual growth, if anything? Nothing. So I've done that. I went back to college. I met the lust of my life, and I moved from Kansas to Colorado and then met the lust of my life in Colorado, and we moved to that other bastion of liberality in the West, Salt Lake City, Utah, where I lived for a couple of years and pursued a degree in accounting. I went to school, finished there. Of course, he was a practicing alcoholic, and I loved myself enough to leave. And then went back to Kansas, earned my degree in accounting, moved back to Colorado, sat for the CPA exam 9 times, never passed a part, and remained abstinent. 9 times sitting for that CPA exam. Never passed a part, still abstained. See, the thing of it is, it doesn't matter what's been tossed to me in life. I choose abstinence because I chose the food before. I choose abstinence because it really is the easier, softer way for me. I heard years ago, do you want relief or do you want recovery? And I really want the recovery, folks. I really want the recovery. There are many things that have happened in life, you know. My mom died in 2000. My brother with cerebral palsy died in 2015. My dad died in 2019, and I did not have to eat compulsively over that. I got to watch all of the I don't know how it is in California, but in the Midwest, when somebody dies, they think that nobody's going to be able to eat, so the place becomes you can feed an army. I mean, good God. And I didn't have to eat compulsively. All I had to do was abstain from compulsive overeating, go to meetings, call people, and stay abstinent. That's what this program has taught me. Living this program on a daily basis, sometimes abstinence is the most important and the most difficult thing that I ever do because I still have that thought. You know, here's my mantra. In a way, if I'm having trouble with the program, then this is what I have to do. And somebody else, it's very similar to what they said before. I have to put the fork down. I have to get my butt to a meeting. I got to call my sponsor. Got to read the big book. Got to read the OA 12 and 12. I got to give service and I got to pray like hell. And if that doesn't work, I got to put the fork down. I got to get my butt to a meeting, call my sponsor, read the big book, read the OA 12 and 12, give service. pray like hell. And if that doesn't work, yada, yada, yada. So here's the other thing that's really fascinating when I choose to live this way of life. I weigh less than what my driver's license says. Now, how many people in this day and age can say that? I mean, now, isn't that just wild? And you know the other part about it's very important that I say that I'm maintaining. I don't say that I lost my weight because I don't want to find that stuff again. I just say my weight reduction is X number of pounds, and it's between 75 and 80 pounds for over 40 years. You know, I can go to the closet and I can pick out the shirt that I wore last year at this time, the same pair of slacks that I wore last year at this time. See, that's part of it. I have a sense of stability in my life that I never had before. You know what this program has given me is hope. And of course, I've got an acronym for hope as well. And hope for me, the H is honesty and humility. The O is open-mindedness. The P is persistence, prayer, patience. The E is experience, enthusiasm, and energy. Honey, I may be 67 years old, but I think I can run circles around some of these little twerpy 30-year-olds that are out there and show them a thing or two. Somebody asked me what I wanted for my birthday once, and I said, I'm 66. Triplet 22-year-old so I can show them how I can run circles around them. You know, what the heck. The other thing of it is that I have learned through living this program is I learned how to become a sap. I learned sap in this program. And sap, I have learned surrender, acceptance, and patience. I'm a sap for this program. Surrender, acceptance, and patience. And you know, OA might not have, I don't think they've got apps, you know, that you can call on, but I've got apps from this program. And apps from this program means that I have action, prayer, and serenity. Those are the apps that I get from this program. So all I know is this thing really does work. And the longer that I live this program and incorporate the steps and the traditions, I'm going to just make a bold proclamation. I'll probably get my butt kicked out of the 12-step program. If your sponsor has never taken you through the 12 traditions, then you're only living half a program. Because the traditions are not for the group. They say they are, but once you look at this, you know what the traditions really do? The traditions teach me how to become a member of a group and act accordingly. That's what the traditions do. The questions that are at the end of in the OA 12 and 12 are just absolutely marvelous. The other thing I want to share with you this evening is I came here and it says, just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and try not to improve or regulate anybody except myself. The only two things I could do this evening for you folks is I will look as well as I can and dress becomingly. I want you to know that even though it's Zoom, I'm dressed as if I was right there with you. I have my dress slacks on. I've got my shoes shined, my shirts pressed, my pants are perfect and all that other stuff. Why? Because it's important, because it shows that I actually care for myself. And when I care for myself, I can care for you. Never could do that before. And the other part of it is, please don't leave. We may mentally be off someplace, but if our butt's in a meeting, we're still there. We're hearing something. And to the newcomer, please, 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 just, we may seem a little crazy at first, but if you think we're crazy, look at what has gone on with the food in your life before. I mean, just really kind of look at it. That's how I have to do this. It works, and I'm so grateful to be given this opportunity to share my strength, hope, and experience, and know that you too can live this program if you but continue to come back and try to live these 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of Overeaters Anonymous. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate you coming. I really do. Back to you, Jan.